This is Wednesday evening Bible study, and we're looking at part number 59 of our Mark studies. Now, last week we began part one of two of a series concerning the Judas betrayal. So we looked at that Sunday before. We looked at the Judas betrayal, part one, which is, we're taking our text, our main text, out of Mark 14, verses 10 and 11. So that's the ones we're going back to tonight to begin with. And we've got several verses that we're going to be looking at throughout the Bible. So keep your Bibles open and handy and ready, because you'll need them, because we're going to be looking at some key questions concerning Judas. And I know a lot of people they have these questions, and that's natural. But we do pick up where we left off last time, and if you remember what we covered the last time, we looked at several key questions, and I'm going to give those to you so that you're back in the mode here, and you know where we're at. And we answered this question: did Jesus know Judas was a betrayer when he called him to be one of his disciples? And we definitely answered that from the Word of God and saw that, yes, he knew it when he called him. A key passage here that you can look at to assure yourself of this is in John 6, 70 and 71, where the Bible says, Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now, that happened early on in Jesus' public ministry when he was speaking to his disciples. So he knew it already that Judas was the betrayer. He called him a devil. And then we answered the question, was Judas preordained by God to be the betrayer of Christ? Well, we saw from Scripture, yes, he was preordained to fill this role. Now, God could have chose anyone to fill this role. For example, if Judas had changed his mind and repented before he betrayed Christ and sought forgiveness for it and decided he wouldn't do it, God could have chosen another vessel to do that. But as we looked through the Scripture, we saw that Judas was certainly willing to do what he did. He was ready to do it. Now, he did spend 3 years with Jesus, just like all the other disciples. Heard the same things they heard. Experienced the same miracles and all these things. He knew who Jesus was. There's no doubt about that. But he was the ultimate betrayer. We saw that Jesus called him the son of perdition. And I showed you that son of means that you originated from something. Just like my son Matthew, he's the son of Byron. And I'm the son of James. Well, Jesus called Judas the son of perdition, which means damnable destruction. So that's where he came from. He was born for that. And then we answered the question, could Judas have changed his mind and sought forgiveness? We touched on that just a little bit right then. He could have. He could have sought forgiveness. He could have changed his mind and altered the course of history. But we do know that God had already planned that event to happen. So someone was going to be the betrayer, and Judas was the one. The fourth thing that we answered was, we didn't answer this, but we looked at Judas's name, Judas Iscariot, and I've refrained from doing this the whole time, but my daughter reminded me of this. My dad, when he would teach on Judas, he always had to say, Judas is a carrot. And we always got a big laugh out of that. I said I wasn't going to do it this time, and I did. But Judas Iscariot, and his name, Judas, the name Judas actually comes from Judah, and it means to be praised, or he shall be praised is what that word means, or name. And then his other name that we always associate him with, Iscariot, is not really a name. It's a designation of where he came from. Men of Kerioth is what the name Iscariot means. So he is, that's what his name means. And then we also saw that Jesus shielded Judas's identity the entire time from everyone else. Even right up at the betrayal, he shielded his identity. There at the Last Supper, when they were speaking together, it seems that it was between just those two because the other ones did not understand what they said when Jesus told Judas to go out and do what he must do, and Judas got up and left. and all the other disciples assumed he was going to purchase something for the feast, or that Jesus had sent him out to do something, give money to the poor or something. So nobody knew. And so we looked at all those things. So as we continue tonight looking at this, we're going to answer three more questions that are key, that a lot of people are interested in, and those are, did Judas repent in the end of it all and find forgiveness? Second question, just exactly how did Judas die? And the third question, did Judas go to hell when he died, or is he in heaven? So we're going to look at those three things tonight, and we're going to prove these and answer them from the Bible. Not from me, from the Bible. So our opening text is, we're going to read here in Mark chapter 14. Let's go ahead and read those two verses, verses 10 and 11 of Mark 14. The Bible says, "And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priest to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. God, I thank you for our church. I thank you for our business meeting we had tonight and the ability to support some more missionaries. And God, we pray that you bless them. Lord, we pray now for this message tonight, this Bible study. God, that you'll be in the middle of it and guide us in it. And Lord, that we can show these things through your word. And Lord, may you be glorified for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, our opening text that we just read immediately follows the event that happened. You can read it if you want. It's about in the first few verses of this, where Jesus went to Simon Leper's house, and he was eating with him along with all the other disciples, and other people were there. And Mary, the same Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, she breaks open an alabaster box of ointment. Spikenard is what the Bible called it. Very precious, it said. In fact, it was worth a whole year's salary in that day. So she broke open this box of ointment, and she anoints Jesus with it. In one portion of Scripture, it says his feet, and others it says his head. Regardless, she anointed Jesus, and Jesus said she'd done it to prepare him for his burial. Now, we know what happened. Tongues started wagging. Oh, this was a big waste. We did see that, I believe it was the Gospel of Luke, told us it was Judas the one that spoke up and said, this should have been sold and the money given to the poor. And then he also, or maybe it's John, he goes on to say that, I believe it was John, he goes on to say that he didn't say this because he cared for the poor, but because that he was a thief and held the bag. So we know that Judas didn't really care anything about the ministry and the poor people. He was the treasurer in hopes of making himself rich. So this all occurred, and Jesus kind of rebuked him and said, leave her alone. And said that, you know, as long as the gospel's preached, her name will be mentioned. This will be mentioned about her. So Judas got very offended. And he's already saw, after spending over three years with Jesus, that things are not going to go the like he planned them to. Jesus is not going to set up an earthly kingdom like he thought. He's not going to be one that sits on his right hand or left hand. And so Judas sees all of his hopes and dreams and money falling apart. And so he decides what he's going to do. He's just going to cut ties with it, betray Jesus, take the money, and run. Well, over John 12 and 6, it said, here it is, I had it written down. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bare was put therein. So that's what I was just speaking of. So it's well established in God's word that Judas is a thief. Compound that with the sin of being a betrayer, a deceiver, a liar, and of course Jesus calling him the son of perdition. Listen, you can't get much lower than that. Judas has been put on a level of a sinful man, about the lowest level that you can get of sin. I guess you say the highest level of sin, but he's low, I mean a low down sinner. And so now what we want to do, we want to look at the actual point of the betrayal, when it actually took place. We already know he's made plans. The Bible said he's looking for a convenient time to betray him. He gladly was betraying him. And so finally, he discovered the time and place to do it. He knew where Jesus was at, knew the best time to do it. And so this is what happens. And so he's going to perform the most evil act in all of known history. Look at Mark 14, verse 43 through 46. Mark 14, 43 through 46. The Bible says, and immediately while he yet spake, it's talking about Jesus was speaking, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. Now, Mark is always one, he's real straightforward when he in his gospel. He don't add a lot of things that some of the other gospel writers mention. He's just getting right to the point. That's why Mark's the shorter of the gospels. And he just tells us exactly what's needed to know. So he didn't mention the fact about the people falling backwards or all the things that transpired during that little scene. But over the Gospel of Luke, we're told something that no other gospel writer tells us about. It's in Luke 22:47 through 48. Luke 22:47 through 48. Now, this is the same incident here. This is the same time when Judas comes to betray Christ up there in the garden. It says, and while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? So it seems there was some dialogue there between Jesus and Judas, even though we are never told Judas answered him. So Jesus actually calls him out right there, point blank to his face, Judas. He asks him there, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Is that what you're here for? Wow. Okay, now let's look what it says in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verses 47 through 50. Matthew 26, verses 47 through 50. Here it says, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. So here again, we see Jesus speaks to Judas when he comes up to kiss him, to betray him. He says, Friend. Now remember what we saw last time about in the Psalms, the prophecy about the friend that would betray. And so this is what Christ is saying, friend, and he is a friend. Christ was friends with all of his disciples. They were together all the time. And so he calls him their friend. How Judas must have been shaken to the very core when he heard Jesus actually speak to him like this, knowing what he was doing. Now, I fully believe at this point right here, Judas is still filled with the devil. Because Satan entered Judas. I believe he's still in him at this point. I don't think he could have went through all this without Satan being in him. And so the Judas kiss now will forever go down in history as being the deadliest betrayal in all of human history. The Bible says this in Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. See, Judas was both friend and enemy. He was a pretend friend. He wasn't really a friend of Jesus. Jesus was a friend to him, but a friend wouldn't do you this way. He's an enemy. Also, over in Psalm 55, 12 through 15. Psalm 55, 12 through 15. It says, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, oh man, mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in under the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. Now, we know this would be a double prophecy. David, for one, is speaking about Ahithophel. I have a hard time saying that word, that name. He's talking about his own friend that betrayed him. But this is also a prophecy toward the Messiah that was coming that would be betrayed by a friend. And did you see what it said? Don't let that last verse that we just read go out of your mind. Let death seize upon him and let them go down quick into hell. That's going to come back into play here in just a little bit when we answer another question. So the very act of kissing Jesus was supposed to be a sign of love and affection and respect. That's the way those people did in that culture. If you respected somebody, you kissed them. You greeted them with a kiss. It's common. And so that's what Judas was supposed to be doing. And but he's really an enemy in disguise. And like I've said over and over, all this was prophecy, and this is fulfillment of it. Psalm 41:9, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. And we talked about that last time in some detail, and how the very act of Jesus sopping the bread there in the gravy and giving it to him, and he say, the one that dips in the thing with me, he's the one. And apparently that escaped all the other disciples. So, the question everyone always wants to know is, did Judas repent for betraying Jesus? Did he actually repent for betraying Jesus? Well, let's read what it says in Matthew 27, 3 through 4. Matthew 27, 3 through 4. It says, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. So, does this mean that Judas repented of his sins and sought forgiveness from God? Is this what this means? Well, what you have to do is you have to understand that the word repent, or repented, as we see in our King James Bible, has been translated from a few different words. I'm no Greek scholar, but I was able to use my lexicon and get this all sorted out so that nobody had questions. But the word repented, as it's used right here where we just read, comes from a Greek word, metameloma, and it means to care afterwards, that is to regret. That's what that word means. It's two words put together, to care afterwards. So, after he had done the dirty deed, he regretted doing it. He felt bad about it, in other words. Well, this is a very different word than what repented is translated from in other places in the Bible. For example, over in Luke 11 and 32, Jesus is speaking, he says, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Now, when the word repented is used in this case, it comes from another Greek word, metaneo, which means to think differently, or afterwards, that is, reconsider morally to feel compunction. It's the same type of repentance when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost and he told them all to repent. In other words, turn from your sins. Turn from your present way of thinking unto Jesus. So that's what this word repented means here. The word repented, when Judas repented to himself, the Bible says, in other words, he felt real bad. He got all down about it. Felt sorry for it. But it's not the same type of repentance. He did not seek forgiveness from God. So, when our King James Bible says Judas repented himself, it isn't meaning he sought forgiveness. It means he regretted what he did after he had done it. After he saw that Jesus was condemned. What was he expecting? Was he so full of Satan and the devil? Was he so blinded that he didn't really realize that when he did this, they would condemn Jesus to death? Perhaps so. But after he saw that they've condemned him now, so apparently he's been watching all the activities take place. You remember Peter was there in the courtyard. He could see Jesus. He when the cock crew, he looked and saw Jesus. Jesus turned and looked at him. Well, Judas is hanging around there too. And he has heard what all's happened. They've condemned Jesus to death. And now he's like, oh, you know, oh, you know, they've condemned him. And so he felt bad about it. He realized that he betrayed the innocent blood. So he knew Jesus was innocent. No doubt about it. The betrayal was just a downright low down, no good for nothing, just dirty deed. Jesus had done nothing and Judas knew that. So, he knew exactly who Jesus was and realized that what he did was a great sin, but he didn't ask forgiveness for it. Now, look at the rest of Matthew 27, down there in verses 5 through 10. Matthew 27, verses 5 through 10. And we see that Judas, or we see what Judas did next. Look here. Matthew 27, start with verse 5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, "It's not lawful for us to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood." And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me." Now again, prophecy being fulfilled in these events. But we see the Bible says that Judas went and did what? Hanged himself. He went and hanged himself. What's even more interesting, though, is what we read over in the book of Acts. Peter is, again, Peter's preaching, and he gives us some information. Now, Luke is the human penman of the book of Acts. He wrote down these words, being inspired by God, but it's Peter the one speaking. Peter was there. Remember, he was there. He knew all this. Listen to what he said. Acts chapter 1. Verses 15 through 20. Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, "The number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before the concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus." All right. What they're doing right here, I'm sorry, I said he was preaching, but he's not preaching. He's building the case for electing another disciple here, replacing Judas. And so he's giving a little bit of background of why this has to be done. Look at verse 17. "For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of his iniquity." Look at this. "And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out." Verse 19, "And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that the field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take.'" Now, of course, there's going to be those that don't believe the Bible. They're going to say, "Oh, well, look here. We've got two different stories of how Judas died. What a contradiction. I can't believe y'all put your trust in that King James Bible." Well, listen, there is no contradiction here. If anybody's confused about this, it's because your brain is not big enough to understand it. Listen, the Bible says, it said there in Matthew, Judas hanged himself. Here in the book of Acts, Peter tells us what happened after he hanged himself. So he hung himself, and then afterwards, for some reason, somehow, he falls head first on the ground, bust wide open, and all of his insides come out. His bowels gush out. Now that's a pretty gruesome ending. I don't care who you are. So what happened? Well, there's really two theories. One theory is many believe that Judas hung himself from a tree that was around the temple there, which was very high up, and over the side, there was about a 30-foot drop, and rocks below. And that when he hung himself, the limb he hung himself on broke. He fell down face first, hit the rocks, and busted open. That's one theory. The other theory is that he hung himself, but hung there for a very long time, and everybody who walked by knew he was hanging there and left him there because they knew he was a betrayer, and his body swelled up. You know how dead things swell up? That his body swelled up and busted wide open, and he falls and hits the ground, and everything gushes out everywhere. Now, everybody's already sick. I'm glad we've already ate. But look, I'm good with either one of those explanations. Either one of them could be correct. Whatever happened, Judas hung himself, because the Bible said he did, and then he fell headlong down on the ground and burst open, and his intestines come out. His insides come out. So, however it happened, it happened. So, we've answered that question of how he died. We've answered the question, what was our first question we answered? Did he repent and find forgiveness? No, he didn't. We just saw exactly how he died. Now, the last question we want to know is, did Judas go to heaven or did Judas go to hell? Now, you may think, well, that's obvious. Well, don't be so fast. There's a lot of people that want to argue this, and a lot of people want to see a different way of looking at it. We'll just tell you what the Bible says, and then we'll make up our minds. Are you ready? Look again, Acts chapter 1, it's still Peter talking, verse 21. Acts 1 and 21. He's continues speaking about all this and the selection here of Matthias as being the replacement. Acts 1 and 21. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen, that they may take part of this ministry and apostleship, and here we go, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. All right. So Peter just said that Judas, when he fell, went to his own place. Where was his own place? Is he talking about his house? No. Is he talking about his cemetery plot? No. Was he talking about a different ministry, perhaps? No. So it can only mean one thing. Judas going to his own place means his own place in the pits of hell. In the pits of hell. Now, do you remember, I'm going to back this up. Do you remember what we read when Jesus was talking about that man that betrayed him, what he wished? Listen, Matthew 26, verses 24 and 25. Jesus says, The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. Now, if Judas went to heaven, would it have been better if he'd not been born? No. Judas went to hell. It'd been better for Judas not to have been born than to go to hell. All right, and now let's also remember what it says in John 6, 70 and 71. And we've already read it once tonight. John 6, 70 and 71. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Listen, devils aren't in heaven. Now, the devil originally was in heaven. He was cast out. Devils aren't in heaven. And Jesus just said right here that one of you is the devil. And it says it's speaking of Judas. So a devil won't be in heaven. And finally, for our last piece of proof on this, Judas was not ever a believer. He never believed in Christ. Now, he understood who he was. He believed that he was who he was, but he didn't believe in him with saving faith. He never trusted Christ as Savior. Over in John 13, 26 through 27, the Bible says, Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop," here we go, "Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly." Satan does not enter into believers' hearts. Satan and Christ cannot live in the same body and the same heart. The Bible says that Satan entered into Judas. The only way that Satan can enter into you is if Christ is not there. So, did Judas go to heaven or go to hell? He went to hell. He went to hell. Now, a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people don't believe in hell. There's even some very popular preachers today that says hell is not a real literal place. There's one false prophet that ran around here saying that hell was what you made your life here on earth. And that's a bunch of hogwash. It's not true. The Bible tells us hell is a bottomless pit. Hell is a place where the fire never quenched. Their worm, the Bible says, never dies. Each person that's in hell has got their own personal worms. They've also got their own personal place. You see, Judas went to his place, which is a place reserved for him in hell. Now, I hope everybody's got a good understanding now about Judas Iscariot. We've seen all the things. Yeah, Jesus knew who he was when he brought him on as a disciple. Yeah, God preordained Judas to betray Christ. Yes, Judas could have repented and not done the betrayal, and God could have made another way through another person. Judas was never saved. Judas never sought repentance from God for what he'd done. Judas died by hanging himself, and after he hung himself, he fell to the ground and busted open, and Judas went to hell. So those are all a lot of key questions that people ask about Judas, and I hope we've answered it well enough in the Bible. And that'll get us through this portion of Mark. And so, Lord willing, next time we'll be looking at those next verses as we continue on. We'll finally get, and we'll be repeating some of this because it's coming up. The betrayal's coming up. So, anyway, been a good evening here at church. And don't forget these prayer requests. Remember the Dotson family in your prayers. And pray for our missionaries. Pray for our church. And let's go with the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the Bible study tonight. I pray that it's been helpful. Lord, I thank you for showing us from your word all these truths. God, we didn't have to make it up, Lord, but it's all there written down for us. Lord, we pray for these families that are suffering right now, these lost loved ones. We pray for Ronnie Dotson and his son, Lord, as they prepare for the funeral of their wife and mother. God, that you'll just watch over them. Lord, help them in their finances. Lord, lay it on people's heart to be able to give when they're able to help them out. And Lord, we pray for this church. Pray for our missionaries that we support. Pray, Lord, that you continue blessing us and that we'll bless you. These things we ask in the name of Jesus. And amen.